Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Little Andy Williams from Moon Mullen reaching in the Wayback Machine.
Wow. Trip down memory lane for you. Thanks for coming on, Moon.
Oh, that's my greatest hit album. Yeah, right there. There it is. You got it.
I forgot how much I missed that. And I'm going to go home and listen to Andy Williams just sitting in a big comfy chair with a smoking jacket on.
Because I always figure that song puts people to sleep. But that's in keeping with most of my writing. So this is a match. We've got a match here.
Oh, the self-deprecation, Moon. Don't sell yourself short. You've been all over the inside moves on all of this stuff. Very nice piece on the John Fox end and the Matt Nagy beginning.
Thanks. But, you know, I've got to extend kind of a look at things. I'm just thinking about all the stuff that's broken over the last week. And, you know, I hope everybody in Chicago appreciates, you know, I lucked into Harry Hiestand, but then there was, you know, Adam over at Sun Times with the Nagy hiring and Bigsy with Tabor and other things. And, you know, you got, and Mully with
Helfrich.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. This is a very competitive market, and I think what certainly give you guys enough to chew on all day, but I think there's a lot of good sports coverage, and I think this kind of week showed it.
NBC Sports Chicago is where you can read John Moon Mullen. We know our opinions of it. We've been sharing it. I don't want to cloud it with yours, though. Like, what is your opinion of, like, the macro plan that you could read into the staff that's being put together here?
I'll be honest, and I've seen enough of these hires, so I don't get that enamored or over the top about it, but I love the staff. I love what's coming in here, and not just because, oh, he's a friend of Andy Reid and so forth, but I'm looking at the roots that Nagy comes from, and the interesting thing to me about Andy Reid and his offense, think about this, it's a West Coast-based scheme that has worked for 20, 25 years. I mean, somewhere Bill Walsh is smiling. The point being, it's a system that adapts itself. You know, the Bear defense, teams will jump into it once in a while. It worked kind of with the 85 Bears, but as the offense has changed, it didn't really last. But you've seen things like the cover two still has some applicability, and more to the Bears' case, what is coming in here is a version of the Andy Reid, not the coaching tree, but the schematic tree. And that should be exciting to people because it's very adaptable, it's very dangerous. And he's got an offensive coordinator who's a proponent of the no huddle. There's components that are coming in here. I sort of had this odd feeling or positive feeling when Mark Trestman came in. Again, lots of things were off the rails in many ways, but that team did almost score 28 points a game. And in that first year, as long as they had the offensive line was healthy the whole year and the things that they were doing with two different quarterbacks, that was a stepchild of this system too. So, schematically, I am really intrigued by what is going to be coming in with this staff.
That's the thing. Like, I keep trying to reference how it's a different sort of optimism than the Trestman optimism. But for the record, as you say, that offense was number one in points and number eight in yards. It's not like it's not like he didn't know how to scheme that stuff. He was just bad as a leader and a head coach.
It was, and most of that first year. Again, let's forget the second year particularly. But the and think about the staff he brought in. It was Aaron Cromer, was his OC, but also really his de facto line coach. And his quarterback coach was Matt Cavanaugh. Skip Pete was his running backs coach. The coaching staff on the defensive side was something else. I mean, that was an aberration. You have CFL guys, and they didn't get it. But you get some firepower with some proven coaches, and obviously you got to match up with talent. What I'm seeing in this staff are some interesting parallels because Aaron Cromer was the architect of that New Orleans line that took care of Drew Brees for a Super Bowl win. So these guys all knew something about what it takes to make a successful offensive unit and how it all kind of goes together.
You know,
I was just going to ask Moon, are you surprised? Because one of the questions of a young head coach who'd only worked for Andy Reid was his ability to put a staff together because of a perception of a lack of connections. We know he shares an agent with Helfrich, but are you surprised that all of these high-caliber coaches that have all of these options see a Pace, Nagy, Trubisky triumvirate as attractive enough to come here?
I could say, yeah, in one sense, yes. I mean, there's this element of surprise. Because, look, over the last couple of years, we've seen free agents, players, turn down more money to go somewhere else. So all of a sudden, Chicago is kind of slipping as a destination. And yet, one of the things I think I wrote about this, the whole hiring process, there was a method to the madness of having George and Ted along in the interview process. So they struck quickly. So what that meant with their head coach, they're out in front of all these others. Nagy has his pick of assistants. And let's face it, you take a bird in the hand if somebody offers you a job. Well, I don't know if maybe I'll wait around and see about the Cardinals. No, in this business, you don't really do that, especially if it's somebody who's coming in with the kind of pedigree or presumed pedigree that an Andy Reid disciple has. I mean, this guy, you know, Nagy, your head coach, comes from a tradition of good head coaches. And obviously, there's some thought around the league that Ryan Pace could be a GM on the rise, too. So I think a lot to recommend it, as well as George and Ted being part of that process, not dragging it out. So this guy had four or five more days of a head start on getting the staff.
The George and Ted component drove me crazy, and I was so bothered by it. But you're right. It helped them move quickly. And in addition, mm-hmm. I love that they went to dinner, just Ryan Pace and Nagy and their wives, and they had mm-hmm. that chance to, like, you know, talk some crap without the big bosses there, right?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I think that was important. So it did happen that they had both scenarios that you envisioned, maybe the first interview without them, the second interview with mm-hmm. them. They just did it in a different way, and it let them move this fast.
Exactly. I think they sort of inverted the template. I think I even threw a piece. I wouldn't call the Bears trendsetters here, but if this model puts together a good staff and lets your guy, let's take the person, the individuals out of it, whether you like Ted or don't like George, whatever. The president and the chairman are going to be involved at some point in a hiring with a $20 million contract. So in this case, the structure of the process, let's get them involved right away. If we don't like him, let's cut it off right now. But if we do like him, we'll sign off on him now. You guys go to dinner and work it out. And I'm sure Ryan probably had an idea what he was allowed to spend. But I did like the imagination. Initially, I was with you, Spiegs. I mean, you can't be part of the process without influencing it. So I'm thinking, well, George and Ted are in on the interviews. It's going to be, Ryan's got to pay attention to what they think. So it's not really his hire. Until I backed it off and looked at, say, unless they're inverting the model here to get the approval out of the way right away so they can make a move. And that's exactly what they did.
John Moon Mullen, NBC Sports Chicago, with us on The Score. Was that a guess at the value of Nagy's contract, or do you know the particulars?
Oh, no, just assuming, I'm looking 5 years, $4 million. The market, it could be more if it was John Gruden, it'd be 10.
Huh.
But it's not. I think the first year coaches, the days of getting those for Lovie Smith, you know, 2.7 mil are probably in the rearview mirror. So I'm just guessing. No, I don't have a hard number at all.
What are you hearing about the chances of Vic Fangio returning?
It typically comes down to money. I can't imagine Vic is holding out to see if he gets an offer to go to Detroit. His market is tied up a little bit, shrinking a little bit. Usually it's about money. And in this case, I suggested that, you know, maybe the guy needs an assistant head coach title, some way to a tip of the hat as well as the money. If he's not going to be a head coach, then he should take the next best offer. The thing that I'm intrigued about here is I know he really likes this team. Talking to these guys in the locker room, there's a chemistry with their coach, their coordinator, that I don't think should be dismissed a lot. So I think it's probably coming down to money, and I think if they sweeten it with a title bump, I would think they could get this done.
How does this process differ so vastly from the way the John Fox thing went down? I mean, you wrote a piece right after Fox was fired detailing some stuff I had not seen, Moon, about how Dan Quinn was the number one and that was going to be Ryan Pace's guy. Then Fox became available. Does it simply come down to a legitimately empowered Ryan Pace here?
I think it's more than that. In looking back at that thing, you forgot how gummed up it was. Yeah, remember, I think they were interviewing Quinn. I think they interviewed Todd Bowles the same day that they interviewed Pace. Getting back to that structure, how out of whack is that? It's one thing to actually bring them in the building and interview somebody before the guy's even hired. that's a little different than just signing off on an agreed upon candidate. To me, they were getting, with the consultant Ernie Accorsi, I think they got out of whack in that process. Again, the way John Fox turned out and the way the last 3 years have gone kind of make it look maybe worse than it was. But that thing was so disjointed going in. This was so much cleaner. I think they had a structure in mind. Well, again, this may have been Ryan's idea. I don't know whose idea it was, but my guess is it would be Ryan Pace. This was much cleaner, much quicker targeted, and they were going to make a call within 4 or 5 days. The last time, you weren't sure how long. They're interviewing coaches. Now they've hired a GM. Oh, Ryan's going out to Denver to interview. So, who's on first here? And I think this was a much cleaner process.
Moon, I have been called a little bit of a Ryan Pace apologist. I most of the things he's done, even the mistakes, I've enjoyed the process behind him. Like, I feel like there's been a ton of logic in it. And you said the league views him as an up-and-coming GM. Is there a real difference between how Ryan Pace is viewed locally and how he's viewed in league circles?
Yeah. The short answer would be yes. And again, you'll get a diversity of opinions on any coach, GM, whatever. But, and I've actually thrown out, I really didn't think they should or would let Pace go. Let's pull the camera back just for a second and treat him like a player. To me, he made some rookie mistakes, if you put it in player terms. Some moves that maybe overinvested in let's say, not picking on Pernell McPhee, but let's say players that have a little bit of an injury history. Well, maybe he kind of went a little too far. Maybe he thought he could steal somebody. I think there were some rookie mistakes, but there were enough hits. An Eddie Goldman, a Cody Whitehair, some of these guys, even Leonard Floyd, because he didn't really have an injury history coming in. To me, he clearly knows what an NFL player should look like, and I think that's the main thing. Now, they want to build through the draft. Well, duh. So I think they'll refine how they target free agents, but it's all going to be about the draft anyway, and I think he's shown some real positive signs with the draft. And by the way, just to throw this in, you're getting Helfrich from Oregon. Going back to the 2012, 2013 teams, or 2012 in particular, think back to who was on that team. Kyle Long, Hronas Grasu was one of the linemen. Well, now you're going to get a coach who's coming in now who they kind of got the players in place, and now they found the coach who might be able to best use those guys.
Well, I imagine the Hronas Grasu conversation between Harry Hiestand and Mark Helfrich being an interesting one. Helfrich's like, hey, he was good for me. And Hiestand's like, yeah, I don't care. He can't be here. we'll see how that goes. But with that in mind, Harry Hiestand is uniquely qualified, perfectly qualified to say whether this guard coming out of Notre Dame,
Quentin Nelson,
is as good as Zach Martin, who's the other guy that came out of Notre Dame. It's in Dallas, and maybe Quentin Nelson is worth a number 8 draft pick. How would you feel if you saw a guard go number 8 in this upcoming draft, knowing that Harry Hiestand knows him better than anybody?
Well, if you told me Steve Hutchinson, grab him. Or if he's Zach Martin, I think we should blur the distinction a little bit between tackle and guard. I think tackles always seem to have more of a premium. Cromer knew something about it, had a more of a premium on quality guard play, thought you needed to protect the middle. Either way, if you can nail remember Jimbo Covert was six. He was a sixth pick. If you told me you can get a Jimbo Covert level guard, maybe David DeCastro, would you take him at 8? I think that wouldn't be a bad pick.
See, to me, Moon, and obviously you know more than we do, but like Jonathan Cooper, Chance Warmack, like these are nice players. But if you're gonna draft an interior offensive lineman in the top 10, I need perennial Pro Bowler, All Pro type caliber production.
Yeah, how guaranteed is that? I mean, you think I heard a little bit mentioned Tony Mandrich. Was there ever a greater can't miss project? I don't know. And Warmack or Fluker, guys coming out of Alabama with that pedigree. There's no guarantee. That's a cliche, but offensive linemen, I think sometimes that's even harder because they're part of a unit, and the individual can be okay, but maybe he doesn't mesh as well with the unit. So You would like that at 6 or 8, wherever they pick. But, this is an organization to David Terrell, number 8. So we can only get better from there.
Okay. Yeah, right. If you compare against the bottom, it's terrible. But, because I'm just interested, you're right. You can't pencil him in that if he goes 8, he's going to be an all-pro. It's probably too high of a standard to hold to him. But so that's kind of the argument for me against picking the guard. Whereas, okay, if he's not an all-pro, but he's a legitimate starter at corner, that's more valuable than just a legitimate average middle of the road starter at guard. So the positional value is why I would want to use those impactful positions in the top 10.
Yeah, if you say middle of the road, I'm thinking, if you can get middle of the road in the third or fourth round. Hopefully there is a higher standard, obviously, with that. But, not to live in the past. I am a coward and a loser, as we know. But, how Jim Finks built a team, and it was a structural, it is a model that's held. Finks had got the quarterback and tackles in place. There was Ted Albrecht and Dennis Licht, and then when they got hurt, he gets Keith Van Horn, he gets Jimbo Covert, all to protect Jim McMahon, ultimately. So the template is, how do you want to build around what you've got? So if you're talking about surrounding Mitch Trubisky with weapons, well, you might want to start with protecting him. And maybe you're better off because, face it, part of it, the draft is filling in what you didn't get in free agency. If they could land somebody in free agency for one of those two positions, and maybe it's Kyle Fuller, then you're going to be kind of better off. But again, as where we pick these guys, you can kind of, at this point, way ahead of the draft, you can get too analytical. If Kyle Long was number 8, how would you feel if Long had been 8, the 8th pick? Not too bad.
Yeah, no, not too bad. And at 20, he's been good, 3 Pro Bowls, but then there's the injury problem. And so, again, it's like you...
They're few and far between. You got to make sure it's that guy. Just like you said, if it's Steve Hutchinson, if it's Zach Martin, and luckily Stan will know. I mean, the thing is, Moon, it's been a while since both media and fans alike were this excited and this interested about the Bears on January 11th. I mean, my goodness.
I to throw that back, I think part of the reason, maybe even the excitement of starting about the draft, is because you as a fan, whomever, can look and say, wow, whatever they get, it's going into a really interesting system. If they get Vic Fangio, it's going into a potentially top 10 defense. If it's a guard, a tackle, a wideout, they're going into an offense you're really eager to see. So I think there's an excitement. Whatever it is, the pot's already boiling. So now you're just going to be hopefully putting in some interesting ingredients.
John Moon Mullen, we appreciate the insight. NBC Sports Chicago. Thank you, John.
Okay, guys. Talk soon.
That segment brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Still taking your child's temperature the way it was done decades ago? Upgrade to the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, available at fine retailers everywhere. Got a lot of time to get into the draft.
Of course.
Just with the hiring of Harry Hiestand and the top guard, it's an interesting conversation.
Big red flag for me. And, for Tony Wise even to say as much as he said, we talked to Tony about an hour ago about Quentin Nelson. Remember, he said that Quentin doesn't have the drive, the competition, the competitiveness, I should say, that Zach Martin does. And I know Zach is special and he's off the charts. But, hey, man, it's a guard. As you're saying, it's got to be supremely special. So, look, carry.
Well, Jeff Schwartz, who we had on the other day, he tweeted out a clip from Notre Dame LSU, and he said this guy's a future all-pro, and he played guard in the NFL, because if you watch that highlight against LSU, he just destroys a guy and then falls on top of him and is doing very disrespectful things to him. it is very, very disrespectful.
Was he admiring his staff like we've been doing with Matt Nagy?
In some ways.
Some ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you ever make some tea, you got to put the tea bag in the water.
Sure.
That's the type of disrespect that was happening.
I find that respectful, actually.
I'm sure you do. It's Spiegel with Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere. 312-644-6767. What are you smirking at over there?
Found a very cool thing on SpotTrac that I didn't know existed. You know SpotTrack?
I do. The contract salary cap website.
Yeah.
Yeah, database, basically.
Yeah, a database for all sorts of sports.
Yeah.
But you can choose NFL team roster and salary cap manager under tools, and you can sit here and plug in anybody you want from the free agent class and see how it affects your cap.
Mm.
You can sit around and do, as I was saying,
it's like the ESPN trade machine.
Yeah, but yeah. This is the entire NFL roster management, which is too confusing for everybody for the most part.
Right.
They'll do it for you.
But you don't know what the contracts that the free agents are going to sign.
That's true. It's my first look at it here. I'm looking at $42 million in cap space. I'm just ready to spend some money.
Let's not let details get in the way of this.
Okay, I was going to say.
I mean, you can guess. Maybe it'll help you guess, too. But like, this seems to be a computer-aided way to do what I was talking about, where you sit in the back of math class and you draw a baseball diamond, and then you start putting in the guys that you want. I want to do this in a football sense with the Bears, and SpotTrack's going to help me.
Okay. You know, once we get the staff, you know, underway, and we can, it may be time to bring Joel Corey on again, the salary cap expert, and start playing around with, like, all right, who's going to get more? Devontae Adams, he signed in Green Bay. Who gets more? Jarvis Landry or Devontae Adams?
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
I can release guys from the roster with one click of the mouse.
It's great. Get Hieronymus Grissu out of here.
Yeah, well, Deion Sims. Go away. I just cut Deion Sims.
Wow.
That felt good.
That's tough.
Marcus Wheaton, suck it. He's gone. Marcus Cooper's gone. All right, I'll do more of it at the breaks, but this is very exciting.
Okay, Mike Glennon's going to be gone, right?
Right, I'm up to $57 million in cap space now. Got rid of Glennon. I'm at $68,600,000. This is very nice. Anybody else I should just go ahead and cut, guys? Jarrell Freeman, are we going to go down that road again?
No, Jarrell Freeman's out of here.
Okay. He's launched. We're at $72 million. Eric Kush. I know you like Eric Kush because his name sounds like pot, and he's a friend.
Well, he plays pick-a-player reluctantly. So he's played pick-a-player in two cities. So I am a fan of Eric Kush.
Okay. All right. We'll leave him on the roster.
Thank
for
you.
Now.
Just for contacts within the team. Okay. Come on. Think of the show, Speaks.
Yeah. It's
think
true.
Of the show.
I'm getting rid of Bobby Massey, if you guys don't mind. I'm just going to go ahead and
get rid of Massey?
Yeah. Screw him. Oh, let's go.
All right, now he's not a
Harry. He's not a Harry Hiestand kind of guy.
He's not.
Okay.
Hey, you heard it here first, exclusively reported by Matt Spiegel on The Score. I assume that's going to get into this update.
It should.
Thank you, David Schuster. We'll talk to Bernstein and Goff in 30 minutes. Spiegs is getting his Ryan Pace on and cutting people over at SpotTrack.com. 312-644-6767. Anyone else gone?
Yeah, I cut Pernell McPhee. 20 textures and said, cut McPhee. Go ahead.
All right, he's gone.
I cut him. And I just added Allen Robinson, Paul Richardson. Who else did I add?
Probably need to upgrade the line a little bit.
Oh, I signed Kyle Fuller. I decided to come to terms with Kyle Fuller.
Okay, we're making progress. Ryan Pace's job is easy. You keep playing with that. I'm going to talk to Frank. Frank, sounds what's good. Up? You're on the score.
Hey, how you doing, partners?
Good, man. How are you?
I love you guys so, man.
Thank
I'm
you.
Doing well. I just want to say, like, I think we're so used to the ineptness of this franchise that a lot of people aren't seeing the changes. But I mean, if you think about player personnel side and the facilities, he's changing that process and he went through and he got this innovative new coach and he's over there, he's cutting people. You look at his cap management, like he got lambasted for some guys that he signed, but at the end of the day, you look at his cap management, it's beautiful. So I'm just happy. I'm excited. I'm fired up. I think Matt Nagy's an awesome coach. He took accountability. And, you know, I'm just excited for what's going on. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to get my hat right now. I'm going to pull it out of there. If you look at Theo Epstein, I mean, before he did what he was doing, did people think it was crazy? I don't know if that's correct or not.
You know, listen, the cross-sport comparisons, Frank, and I appreciate the call and the kind words. The cross-sport comparisons are really tough. So I'm a big Ryan Pace fan for the plan that he's executing. I really am. But it could still bust, right? Theo, he's got a long way to go to get into anywhere near that conversation.
Theo is a proven guy. If you're talking about Theo as a...
But he was talking about way back in the day, like, was he seen as being radical ahead of the time and all of that?
Yeah, a little bit.
In some ways, he was. I just...
They couldn't get Billy Beane, so they hired a young Theo to follow through on some of those thoughts.
It's just the things that have been wrong don't completely cripple your team. The free agent signings have been mostly one-year things that you can get out of. The first draft, mostly a bust, but hey, Eddie Goldman's still here. And if you got seven starters in three drafts that you feel pretty good about that are all young guys, including a quarterback, which the Bears do, that's not a bad thing. And cap space and now a good coaching staff, and he's aggressive and proactive and progressive and all those sort of things. Like, I think that you could dare to dream a little bit. I think you could dare to dream that competency is here and the Bears are going in the right direction. I would allow myself that if I'm a Bears fan.
I hit a snag on my spot track, salary management and roster management. I have to input my own number for the free agents, it appears. I have to decide on what cap number they're going to get.
Right, so, that's kind of what I figured.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how much they're going to get.
Because right now I've added Kyle Fuller, Paul Richardson, and Allen Robinson for no money, and my options still look great.
So. Breaking news, Jarvis Landry has decided to volunteer for the Chicago Bears next season. Man,
so I'm gonna
see that coming.
Well, I'm sure I could find some free agent projections as to salary and cap numbers and stuff like that and slot those things in there. So look, I just Ryan Pace's job is not as easy as I thought.
Okay. Well, breaking news. Sean in Romeoville's on the score. What's up, Sean?
Sean.
Hey guys, how are you? Hey, how are you guys? Sorry, I was trying to eat lunch.
You're good.
Hey, I'm getting more and more excited, you know, every day. I'll admit, at first I wanted what I thought was safe and comfortable, and that was Pat Shurmur because of, you know, what he'd done with Keenum and the fact that he'd had coaching experience. But, you know, I thought about it, you know, safe and comfortable didn't do much for us the last time. And also, too, I think it's got to be really appealing, the thought of having – you know, turning someone into a franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I mean, a franchise quarterback is great for any team, but for one of the charter members of the NFL, I think the lure of that has to be really appealing for these guys. So, pretty excited.
I mean, I think that's a great point, Sean. And how about this? Trubisky could be the best quarterback in the history of the Bears franchise.
Oh, boy.
He could be. It's not that high of a bar to climb. You look at the Bears' passing numbers and records and throughout history, Jay Cutler's at the top of a lot of them.
Sid Luckman.
Yep.
Eric Kramer. Jay Cutler.
You think it's completely ridiculous that Mitch Trubisky has a better NFL career than those three guys?
No.
Neither do I.
It's not ridiculous.
So that's part of it, too. It's like they are being super aggressive and supportive for a quarterback for a franchise that has never really had it. So I love the idea of emphasizing offense. That's why I've said this could blow up, right? Pace unproven, Trubisky unproven, Nagy unproven. But at least it'll blow up by trying to be really aggressive and progressive on the offensive side of the ball for a change.
Absolutely.
Instead of this old, we play on the lakefront and there's wind and you got to run the ball and big offensive linemen and defense and middle linebackers. Like, how about erring on the side of aggression at quarterback? There's a novel concept.
Yeah, and the appeal... The appeal in terms of coming here is like, yeah, you got the opportunity to craft Trubisky, and also just, man, the timeline is fabulous. You know that you're getting in on the front end of these four guys are going to be given a chance to really do some stuff. To all the callers who want me to cut Josh Bellamy just to make them happy, just to please them, he's an unrestricted free agent, so I can't cut him. I cannot sign him, and I'll do that for you, but it lacks the visceral satisfaction of clicking cut on the website.
I'm sorry to remove that from you.
God, maybe, should I sign him so I can cut him?
There you go. Now, that's some pettiness that I can approve of. Someone just sent me a link to an Albert Breer NFL draft notebook.
Yeah, man.
Breer writes on Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. When I told an executive last week that I'd probably write that Nelson was maybe a better guard prospect than ex-teammate Zach Martin, he told me to take the maybe out of there. If you get Zach Martin at 8, I sign off on it. I'm willing to exclusively report that.
Man, that feels good to have Danny Parkins sign off on your number 8 pick.
I thought it might.
It really does.
Yeah. If you get a multi-time All-Pro at the 8th overall pick at his position, I'm willing to say that that was a good use of the draft selection. And really any position other than punter and place kicker.
Any position. You'll take a multi-year All-Pro at any position.
Yeah. As a starter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so don't give me specialist, no gunner, returner, long snapper, all due respect to Pat Manley. Mm-hmm. I will take a multi-year All-Pro at any position at the 8th overall pick, of course.
Even inside linebacker in a 3-4.
Sure. Sure. Multi-year All-Pro?
Mm-hmm.
You get Luke Kuechly? You're at the 8th overall pick? No problem, right? I think that that's...
Well, Kuechly's a middle in a 4-3, right?
I just mean inside backer in general. Like an inside, you get Sean Lee in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that type of player. He's the captain of your defense. He's calling out the plays. He's best at his position. Yeah. I don't think that there's a all pro is best at his position, obviously, in the league. So I don't think that that's going out on a very thick limb or a thin limb.
I will tweet out the link to this salary cap roster builder and manager so everybody can have some fun if you'd like, as has been often requested. And we got transition with the Bernstein and Goff show at the top of the hour.
We do. And Speak says he's got a depressing story. So stick around for that.
That'll be fun.
It's Speak with Parks on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere.
Good night to go to the movies. Danny and I were just talking about it. I mean, I know What's On is a proprietary Bernstein and Goff bit. I understand. But tonight you got like Celtics and Sixers. Celtics and Sixers.
I know
Sixers.
No Bulls, no Hawks.
Celtics and Sixers seems to be the highlighted NBA game. Or Cavs. Who do the Cavs have? They have somebody interesting.
I don't know. I was just looking up the college basketball schedule to see if there was a
games of consequence, players to watch, lottery picks to scout.
There appears to be a lot of games that I'm not going to be able to sift through as we go.
Here. I understand. Well, that's their bit. We'll tune back in at 5:30.
That's exactly right.
And hear them set us up for the night.
But you're going to go see a movie? What movie?
I think my lady wants to see Lady Bird.
Your fiance.
My fiance. I believe it's pronounced fiance. I can't be sure.
I don't think so.
But she wants to see Lady Bird. I want to see The Post.
See The Post, too. That's the one I want to see.
I still haven't seen the Star Wars. I'm hip to the spoilers already, but I still want to see the Star Wars. Did we ever find the Les Grobstein thing, or was that a myth? I don't think it exists.
I think it's a myth.
Oh, it's too bad.
And Schuster chimed in and said, don't bother with Lady Bird.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of David Schuster's one-line movie reviews.
Yeah.
Big fan. Puts those out on the Facebooks.
Okay.
Tanya. I'm telling you.
Tanya? Yeah. All right. I like that idea as well. Oh, yeah, Celtics tip at 2 o'clock. They're in London. That's right. So Celtics Sixers are in London this afternoon. So we could watch that. Yes, NBA is in London.
Okay.
Yeah, did you miss that?
I did.
I understand. A lot of stuff going on. Got a Bears staff.
2 p.m.?
Yeah.
All right.
So?
I'm not doing anything this afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah.
I have a wide variety of depressing stories.
Why? That's not something you normally do.
Well,
Speaks like he's a break a little bit earlier. He's like, I got some sad stuff we talked about. I'm like, oh, is it personal? No. Just stories I found. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. All right.
What do you got?
Well,
and then we're going to get back to some Bears.
Do you want the crippling disease for a former NFL great? Or would you like
which one?
The disgusting clandestine activities of a now fired baseball agent.
So let's not play multiple choice. Let's go baseball first. This satisfy your baseball craving?
Not really.
Can I get a baseball camping?
Baseball. Yeah, no,
baseball.
This doesn't take you there. Jason Wood apparently has been filming his clients, baseball players, in his bathroom as they showered. Jason Wood started his own firm in 2006. It became a very successful firm. He was then bought by a firm called CSE. He has been the president of baseball for CSE for several years now. They have a lot of clients.
Okay.
And those clients are just about, all of them are quitting and leaving now. Because one of his clients, and we don't know who, but one of his clients was showering at Jason Wood's house and discovered a camera and confronted his agent and said, what the F is this? They tussled, apparently. He was reported, and CSE fired him. Major League Baseball Players Association has banned him now, and CSE is an agency much bigger than one guy, but they are losing clients left and right.
Skeevy behavior, man.
Oh, man! Can you imagine? And apparently, I was reading, I found a thing last night, where like a lot of people around baseball had thought he was a weird bad guy to begin with. Somebody had called him scum of the earth was the quote. And that was before this story even came out. So
what's the agency going to do? Let me know. Are they just done? One guy just bringing the whole thing down?
Apparently so. That's crazy. He was president of baseball for them. The reports last night were that like all of his clients were
solid betrayal of trust, I would say.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like the feeding frenzy that was going on. You thought ambulance chasers was one thing. This is what? Police blotter chasers or, you know, agency firing chasers? One guy said that he had 20 different texts from 20 different agents trying to go after him. Now that he's about to fire his agent.
Well, that was the exact thing that I thought of, and I have not been following the story very closely, but talk about an industry with competition.
Uh-huh.
You know, where no industry obviously would like that type of story to happen, obviously. But, yeah, well, one guy's doing this, well, I'll have 15 other people looking to come get my services immediately. So, yeah, that is absolutely the type of thing that could sink an entire agency.
Yeah, and it's happening.
One guy.
Andrew Benintendi is one of the clients of this guy. There are several others, but yeah, man, you got agents chasing like crazy. The whole firm is in trouble, and it's a weird off season for agents anyway, because there's a lot of consolidation of a lot of the same agents. That's part of the freeze here in the hot stove. Is that like, yeah, you know, Boris has a ton of guys, and a couple other agents have a ton of guys, and now those numbers might rise even more as this little bit of chaos is going on.
Do we know why the player was showering at the agent's house?
It's a great question. I don't know.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't know. Like maybe if he has set up something for you promotionally, you're like, yeah, well, come over. We'll hang out here. Oh, sure, you can shower. I don't know. Maybe these guys.
I have no idea what the answer to that question is.
Our pals.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take a crippling, debilitating disease for 400, Alex. Dwight, your next story.
Dwight Clark, the man who made the catch, has amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. He's got Lou Gehrig's disease. And about 6 weeks ago, the media relations director, the former media relations director of the 49ers, came up with this idea, this Tuesday ritual, that Dwight Clark meets for lunch with a small group of 49ers friends at a lunch spot near his house, and they trade stories, and he says, we tell lies about how good we were. At one of the first gatherings at Dwight Clark's table was Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, Harris Barton, Carmen Policy, Eddie DeBartolo, just all sitting around. Ronnie Lott comes about every other week. And Dwight Clark sits there and he says, quote, reminiscing is healthy. Just sit around, tell stories and stuff like that. And they have become the highlight of his week.
Sure.
And
it's depressing.
This week, a day after he turned 61 and one day before the 36th anniversary of the catch, he invited sports writers. And there's a picture out there of like 10 different sports writers, a bunch of whom had covered him during his time there. Sam Farmer, the LA Times, maybe the most known. Matt Maiocco, who used to join us as the San Francisco guy for Around the NFL and, you know, the three technique. So they're all there. And he sat around and said, guys, if you want to ask me any questions about ALS, let's do it. So they did all of that after like an hour or so of
storytelling and reminiscing.
So a whole bunch of stuff off the record, and the sports writers have written about it, saying like how wonderful it was and emotional it was, Dwight Clark telling stories. And then like talking about ALS. And see, he said he tried to watch the movie Gleason about Steve Gleason.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get all the way through it.
He sees his future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like he can't, he just knows. He's following along all around the world and all the different research that's going on. Says somebody may stumble onto something, but I don't think it'll be in time for me to use it. But just like brutally sad, but there's a guy trying to make the most of his time and having the weekly lunches.
And share about his diagnosis.
Yes.
And all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we ended on a low note, but the one story that I had saved was a little bit more lighthearted, thankfully, because it's impossible to be less lighthearted than that. Did you see that the UCF fans paid for a billboard in Tuscaloosa? That was my favorite story that we didn't get to today. They paid for a billboard in Tuscaloosa that said, we want Bama, and they are trying to schedule a home-and-home with Alabama. So it's just, they go undefeated. They're claiming their own national title. They paid out their coaches the national title bonus.
They did. They gave them the bonus.
Oh, yeah. They gave them all the bonuses. They're hanging a banner. They did a parade. They're doing the whole thing. That is my kind of sports story, because it's just poking fun at the institutions. It's not taking yourself too seriously. It's trash talk. It's bravado. It's harmless anarchy.
Did any of them wear a sandwich board on the Alabama campus?
I don't know about that.
Well, they basically did.
They basically did. But it's just like, yeah, it's a little gimmicky. I understand that. And I understand it's so easy to mock. Oh, it's stupid. You're not the national champion. Okay. It's Central Florida. They'll never be in this position again. They're not a powerhouse. They're not a Power 5 conference team. They had the perfect season. They beat Auburn.
They just lost their dream coach.
Auburn beat the teams that were playing in the title. It was a perfect confluence of events to come together and get their troll on for the system of college football and maybe, just maybe, be the argument for change for when college football expands their playoffs. And they'll say, UCF was the team that deserved to be in there, and so they're taking advantage of it. So I have all the respect in the world for them calling themselves the national champion and paying that out and trolling and going and poking the bear that is the behemoths in college sports. I love that story.
Thank you for taking me away from predatory agents and football legends with ALS.
It's what I do. We'll talk to Bernstein and Goff next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.